A reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7. Once again Yahweh spoke to Ahaz and said, "Ask Yahweh your God for a sign for yourself coming either from the depths of Sheol or from the heights above." "No," Ahaz answered, "I will not put Yahweh to the test." Then he said, "Listen now, house of David. Are you not satisfied with trying the patience of men without trying the patience of my God too? The Lord himself, therefore, will give you a sign. It is this: the maiden is with child and will soon give birth to a son whom she will call Emmanuel." How does it come about that as we approach the Feast of the Incarnation, we are invited to read from a Jewish prophet who lived 700 years before the birth of Jesus and 2,700 years before our own time? You'd think it was all a bit remote, wouldn't you? And yet, over the centuries, from time to time, there have been some people who seem able to stand outside of their own spot of time and place and to reach an understanding of a world utterly beyond the human world of any age and communicate insights into how those two worlds interact. Saint Jerome in the 4th century said of Isaiah, "He described all of the mysteries of the Church of Christ so vividly that you would assume he was not prophesying about the future, but rather was composing a history of past events." So, what is it in today's reading that offers us an insight that carries through the centuries? Well, there is a bit of history, of course, from the time Judah was scrapping with its neighbours, but that only gives rise to the occasion that Isaiah wants to mention, the prospective birth of a child. And traditionally, it's the reference to a virgin giving birth to a son. I myself think that there is far greater significance in the name that prophet has chosen for his child. In Hebrew culture, names held great symbolism. Isaiah himself had two sons who were given names carrying much meaning. So it is not just by a casual stroke of the pen that Isaiah names the child of his prophecy Emmanuel, God with us, or God among us. This choice of name has profound implications for Isaiah's understanding of God's purpose for the world and our purpose in the world. Remember that in the ancient world, the gods were thought of as remote from humankind and rather indifferent to our fate. So the thought that a child could be born who incorporated God into the human race, who literally embodied God, was a radical idea indeed. This is not a God who exists only in a different world from ours, not even a God who comes to earth but remains in some essential way a supernatural being. It's a God who became human. Think this out a bit and you cannot avoid the question, where does this put human beings of all places and times in relationship to God? Divine life and human life are not two different planes of existence. The birth of Jesus demonstrates once and for all that God life and human life are inextricably entwined. More, they are in essence the same life. What a gift our God has given us. So Isaiah, in choosing that name, Emmanuel, 2,700 years ago, had far more than a hint of the true nature of God and of where the human race stands in relation to God. Whatever the historical events that give rise to this piece of Isaiah chapter 7, it's not surprising that people down through the ages saw here the ineffable hope that lay within the human condition. Our world contains so many people who have little sense of their own purpose, little awareness of a beyondness, little hope. Yet at this time, before the birth of the Christ child, you and I have an opportunity to embody that momentous truth, Emmanuel, God is among us, to the people who we meet in the store and on the street, at work and in the kitchen. Praise God, Emmanuel.